I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Let me ask you this. You're going to do a lot of oversight. You're going to have a lot of subpoenas. Many people look at what you're doing and they see that it looks more partisan than professional. Tell me how you're going to try to departisanize an investigation, or do you expect it to be partisan?
Well, with all due respect, Chuck, I disagree with that. I think the only people that see this as a partisan investigation are the media and the hardcore Democrats. Look, at the same moment that the Democrats on the Ways and Means Committee released Donald Trump's taxes, they then, moments later, turned around and said Comer's investigation of the Biden family influence peddling is a revenge hearing. I mean, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? It wasn't revenge. We're looking at facts and details. That is 7 months ago. And the reason I'm going back 7 months ago in that Meet the Press interview with Chuck Todd and Congressman Comer is I want to set the stage for you once again in the sense of how the state-controlled media never sees what's in the room like that big elephant, but they can see that tiny ant over there, and that's what their attention is gathering and where they're focusing. All the guns are aimed at that ant. Chuck Todd, in that stupid interview, as he was trying to say, well, you know, everybody's going to be looking at this investigation you're carrying out as revengeful on it. It looks partisan. Did he ever ask one time, even one time, did he ever ask Adam Schiff when they were carrying out all the inquiries into Trump, did he ask, is this partisan? It looks partisan. The other side's going to think it's part. I don't think he ever did. Here we are, August 9, 2023. Glad to have you on board with us again for the first hour of Larry Connors USA. The second hour will follow immediately after we finish, staying right here on the station for you. And, of course, video the show, streaming at News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter, LC Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. Now, more on the GOP investigation of the Bidens compared to the Democrat rush to impeach Trump. Let me give you some details. The Biden family business, according to some of the latest information being released today by James Comer, showing the Biden family business received more than $20 million from Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, while President Joe Biden was vice president in the Obama administration. The committee had previously unveiled other Biden bank business records, and those showed at least $10 million from business schemes in Romania and China. And according to everything we have in front of us now, 9 Biden family members got payments from the family foreign business ventures, including 2 of Joe Biden's grandchildren. Now, that's not just talk. It's not rhetoric. Is backed up by bank statements. Comer had predicted back in June that the committee's work would ultimately show the Biden family accepting up to $30 million from business dealings. So the first drop of bank records indicating about $10 million, and then this latest $20 million. In today's second hour, we're going to have more on that exchange between Lackey Chuck Todd and Congressman James Comer. But right now, while Chuck Todd is still in his mind, the fact that what the Oversight Committee is doing and the House Judiciary Committee is doing is just being vengeful, Trump is waiting for another indictment to drop, this one from Georgia.
You know, every time you get indicted, I like to check the polls because... One more indictment that I think this election's over. One more. No, it's horrible. You get indicted for nothing.
That was former President Trump on the campaign trail yesterday. A new poll conducted after Trump's third indictment shows he is leading Florida Governor Ron DeSantis by now 42 points. 73% of likely GOP voters say that they believe the charges are a distraction for Biden's corruption. Meanwhile, Newsbuster shows how little the mainstream media is reporting on the Biden family business scandals and all these bank records. From the evening of August 1st to the morning of August 8th, ABC, CBS, and NBC News spent more than 5 hours covering Trump's third indictment and less than 5 minutes on Biden.
As Maria Bartiromo, following the Trump statement that every time they give me another indictment, my numbers go up, and they in fact do. Those numbers are encroaching upon folks who were probably never going to vote for Trump. But they're looking at what's happening and they're thinking, you know, this is wrong. This is wrong that our government's being weaponized to go after one man trying to destroy him before the election. This is what they do in a banana republic if they don't execute the opponent. But they're trying to do it. They're not just kneecapping him. They're trying to execute him without using real bullets and weapons, but the power of the state-controlled media. And what you just heard Maria Bartiromo point out, those numbers, they're just not shocking. They're standard, but I want to go back over them again. She was pointing out from their survey of coverage from August 1 through August 8, that was yesterday, the three major networks, we're not even talking about cable news, CNN, MSNBC, NPR, PBS, and the rest of them, whatever they were doing, they were pretty much correlating with what I'm going to read to you. But just the three major network news operations, the operations where you always believe, like with CBS, Cronkite, this is going to be nothing but fact, not opinion. Then when Peter Jennings on ABC, and then the NBC team, I mean, we relied upon that as news sources. Even CNN and NNN, when it first started, it was pretty well driven on content, news. But then you start getting all these liberal, progressive hands on it, and inside the newsrooms, and then higher up in the ranks, and they do a turnabout. But again, to repeat her numbers, from August 1st through August 8th, CBS, NBC, ABC spent 5 hours, 5 hours, on that latest Trump indictment that the special counsel filed with all these charges. And then they spent less than 5 minutes on anything coming out of the Oversight Committee hearing on the Bidens. The bank records that I just discussed with you and related items. Look away. There's nothing here. Now I want you to stop and think for 1 second. The Americans that are relying on those sources for their news, they're obviously getting a jaded view of Trump and getting nothing damning against Joe Biden. You would think if they want to show that they're journalists, they would strive for some balance. But they're not trying to be balanced. They're trying to be destructive of Trump, conservatives, anyone else who opposes the progressive leftist agenda. So even if you're not a Trump supporter, if you consider yourself an independent, you are one of their targets. And they will shape you by what they give you or what they don't, what they withhold from you. I've got another piece here. Let me share this with you. I get my report from the New York Times from the time to time. I get one of these, good morning, Larry. Could I sign up for it? I get the slap in the face. And here's what they were talking about. Good morning. We're covering the election results from Ohio. That was the effort to change the state legislature. That was a preliminary election for coming up in November to see if they could raise the standards for introducing amendments to their state constitution requiring 60 votes instead of a simple majority, 60%, I should say. It failed. Then they mentioned a Trump memo. This is a memo that's supposedly been uncovered that by some of the attorneys inside Trump's camp, by some of those indicted in these latest series of charges against Trump, showing that they were trying to look at how they could control the results of the election. Not really control the results, but how they could look at the Electoral College. I'll get into that also more in the second hour. But there's nothing in here about Biden. Oh, they do add election results from Ohio, a Trump memo, and peacocks. I didn't even bother looking, see what the hell they're saying about peacocks. I could care less. And I don't think it's the NBC peacock. Let me put it that way. But this attitude that exists out there, the state-controlled media, that they can just slide all this by you. Well, they can't. And in fact, New York Congressman Nick Laneworthy says what we're seeing needs to be put front and center for the American public.
What we've seen is disgusting. I mean, as we've poured through the suspicious activities reports, as we've gone through and detailed the foreign countries that have wired money into the Bidens, we've seen firsthand there's influence peddling. And then Devin Archer's testimony last week saying that Joe Biden was conferenced into 20 different meetings. Now, this all while Joe Biden on the debate stage against Donald Trump, you know, 3 years ago, said that he's never had anything to do with the son's business and his son never made a dime from China. He lied to the American people, and we are bringing the receipts, we're bringing the facts, and the media blackout here is what is just absolutely disgusting.
And you know, that's another point. Devin Archer's testimony was last week in the same period of that August 1st through the 8th as to how much coverage was given to the Biden story. 5 hours total coverage from ABC, NBC, CBS totaled on the Trump indictment. 5 minutes on anything relating to Biden, which would have included the Devin Archer stuff. And Congressman Laneworthy then goes the extra step to call out a fellow Republican.
Other politicians out there trying to warn the House. I mean, I think that's asinine, and they should stay in their own lane, frankly, because we're conducting a very serious investigation in the House Oversight Committee. We've brought serious facts to the American people, and the mainstream legacy media needs to get with the program because they are doing a disservice in showing their allegiance to the president rather than their allegiance to truth and facts.
Are you talking about Mitch McConnell? Because Mitch McConnell said that it's bad for the country to even go down that road of impeachment.
Yeah, I'm done taking political advice from Mitch McConnell. This is about honesty and justice. And if the American people deserve to know if their president is compromised by foreign entities, if his son has acted as an illegal foreign agent with his full cooperation, these are facts that the American people deserve. That's what the House Oversight Committee is here for. And Mitch McConnell ought to work on passing some bills over there in the Senate.
I like the fact that he called out Mitch McConnell, say, and others. Stay in your lane. You're not involved in this. You apparently don't care about it. You're willing to basically go along with the Democrats and just kind of cover it up. Just push it under. Just keep pushing it under. We've had enough of that. We need to have all of it brought forward. Now, here's something else. The Democrats under Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, they were so quick to rush to impeachment. McCarthy has been asked as well. But Comer, Jordan, they're all asked about, when are you going to do it? When are you an impeachment inquiry? We're not there, and we're not there. They said, we're taking our time. We're going to build a case first. The Democrat leadership didn't care about building a case. They just wanted to rush into impeachment. We will have more on this in the second hour. Meanwhile, our Biden border crisis continues to escalate.
Governor Abbott is being sued by the Department of Homeland Security and by this administration because he dares to try to stop the flow at our border, to stop the death, the fentanyl, to stop the poisonings, to stop armed intruders. You know, the president and this administration could go straight to hell. We have a job to do. Congress, my message to all my Republican colleagues, We are not going to fund a government that's at war with the people of Texas. We are not going to fund a government that's perpetuating the lawlessness, empowering cartels, allowing fentanyl to kill Americans, and allow little girls to get raped in stash houses in Texas.
Raped in stash houses in Texas. He mentioned the fentanyl, and I believe I saw a major Hollywood star's son passed away. An overdose is what they've listed officially. And whether he totally overdosed or just got some drugs laced with fentanyl, still to be fully determined. But I think it's Robert De Niro's son, one of them, that he was taking drugs, got some fentanyl, either intentionally or it was laced into something else. De Niro's been one of the outspoken critics against Trump. Will we hear him call out against Biden for allowing these drugs to come in on a constant basis? Biden is encouraging and certainly allowing. If you don't use the word encouraging, he's certainly allowing all this to happen. Tennessee Congressman Green, that you were listening then to Texas Congressman Chip Roy, and he said, just get the hell out of you're not doing anything to help us, and we're not going to be your experiment in Texas anymore. And now Tennessee Congressman Green says the cartels are laughing and counting the money.
They're making around $13 to $14 billion a year just on human trafficking alone. And we told them, we warned them, that the CBP One app will be basically used by the cartels. And sure enough, Washington Examiner broke the story, I think it was a week ago, that they've set up a specific VPN and are filling out the applications for people to speed them into our country. It's absolutely absurd.
It is absurd. And we'll discuss that more in just a moment. Let me backtrack on one thing. I said De Niro's son. It was not his son. It was his 19-year-old grandson. The cause of death listed as accidental overdose, but apparently fentanyl was found in his system as well. These kids don't understand it. A sugar pack you see on a table in a restaurant, if that were all fentanyl, 2 or 3 grains out of that pack would be enough to kill you and maybe 20 people in the restaurant if you took those and mixed them up with your coffee and spread it around, poured in everyone's cup. And Congressman Green did mention a new way cartels are getting illegals into our country. And my next guest coming up is a border control and immigration expert. He's going to explain, because this is something the Biden administration, as you heard Congressman Green say, we told them this is going to be abused. It's going to be used by the cartels, because every opening you give these guys, they're going to take it. And they've taken basically this app that was being provided to expedite and drive away the large crowds gathering at the border. And they're now using it. It's basically, here's your go to America free card. And if you get caught, you get out of jail free. My next guest will get into more details of that. Plus, before we wrap up today's program in the second hour, and in this hour, as a matter of fact, Anheuser-Busch heir Billy Bush on how the company screwed up the brand. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Boom, 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 boom. Gotta shoot your eye down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We were talking a moment ago about how the drug cartels have taken a Biden-provided app to supposedly make sure we don't have crowds gathering at the border and the border towns and just basically quickly pass through and on their way into the interior of the country, and how it's being abused and actually is a benefit to the drug cartels. My guest is Simon Hankinson. He's with the Heritage Foundation, border control and immigration expert. Simon, glad to have you on board again.
It's my pleasure.
Now, I want to get into that app to help folks understand it better in a moment. But before we do that, the drug cartel profits, from what I've seen lately, and I want to know if you dispute these numbers. The numbers that are being thrown around right now, in fact, Texas Congressman Mark Green alluded to it before you joined us, that they're making something like $13 to $14 billion per year on current trafficking, smuggling people, and our drugs. That sound right?
Well, I think any estimate is going to be ballpark, but if you add up the number of people coming over, and we are pretty sure that almost everybody who passes through cartel-controlled territory, which is a lot of the territory around the border, right, are paying something. You add the drugs and the people together, maybe 10,000 a person, some pay less, some pay more, depending if they're coming from China or from Guatemala. That doesn't seem like an unreasonable estimate. They're definitely making in the billions, for sure.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned China, because I think either Congressman Green or another source I saw quoting that if you're coming from China, your cost is probably going to be $35,000 to $50,000 for them to help the cartels to help you come through Mexico and into our country.
You know, I'm old enough to remember, and you might be back in the 80s when the Golden Venture, that ship, got stuck offshore and they found a whole bunch of Chinese nationals who'd
right,
been smuggled in shipping containers. Back in those days, back in the 80s, the going rate for a Chinese to be smuggled into the United States was about $50,000. So I doubt it's gotten any cheaper since then,
yeah,
even though, of course, it's gotten easier for them.
Well, yeah, I'm not old enough to remember that, sir. I had to. Okay, there went my credibility. So let's look at some of these that are coming across. First of all, mentioning just the Chinese for a moment. They have been caught on video, sometimes by surveillance cameras, and sometimes in full view, groups of 30 to 40 Chinese men of military age and from other countries of military age coming across the border, not with a child, not with a family. What would be their intent, and how are they getting? They didn't swim from China to here. Obviously, there's a lot of backing going on, and I've got a guest coming up later today. We're going to talk about maybe how China's facilitating some of this trafficking. But what's your view of it?
Well, it's pretty easy for them to get to the border. They could fly into Mexico. I'm not sure what the visa regime is for Chinese going to Mexico, but there's bound to be several countries between Mexico and, you know, the tip of Argentina that have visa-free travel. And then they just make their way from there up to the border. Now, we've had at least 10,000, I think, Chinese nationals just in 2023 alone. It was only about 2,000 last year. So obviously the word's gotten out. I would suspect that most of them are probably economic migrants. But if I were the Chinese government and the Chinese intelligence services and military, I would make sure I had a couple ringers in there.
Sure.
So that they could be, you know, settle in and be ready for when the time comes here in the United States and send back some useful information.
And it's not just China. I mean, we've got 150 different countries represented that have been caught coming across the border, a lot out of the Middle East. Some might well be tied to either ISIS or some other radical jihadist group.
Exactly. Well, you think about it. If you're dealing with a single file crowd coming into your nightclub, then you can ask for some ID and you can do some kind of vetting. If you're looking like people leaving a football stadium, there's just too many people to check all at once. Some of those people are going to be people you don't want, and you have no way of knowing because we don't know. We have no criminal records on the people that they're letting go at the border. You know, 150,000, 200,000 people a month they're letting go, maybe half, saying show up in court sometime in the future. But we don't have any way of checking criminal records in Venezuela and China unless we go through the embassy, and it's a complicated process, and those governments don't necessarily want to share it with us.
No, no, they're not going to. Which, by the way, also a surveillance video has caught video of cartel members. I mean, I'm sure it's not those who are escorting across doing it, but they're carrying weapons, AK-47s, AR-15s, whatever they've got their hands on. They're sometimes bulletproof vests. They're fully armed as they're escorting some of these folks across, because they're also, in many cases, bringing drugs across.
Exactly. Now, they may have those guns to protect themselves against other cartel, different, you know, competitors.
Right.
Because obviously there's a lot of competition for these billions of dollars. But I'll tell you, it's kind of embarrassing for me as an American to see these guys crossing over into our country armed and wearing body armor. I think that's it's a sign of massive weakness in our leadership. It's a brazen mockery of the United States that I don't believe would have happened at any time in the past.
It was not going to happen under Trump, and even Obama, it didn't open it up. And in fact, I can go back to Bill Clinton making a statement that we love immigrants, we're built of immigrants, but we have laws and we have a legal immigration process. Anything else is illegal. They were even admitting it. Look how far we've come, and it scares the hell out of me where we're going to go in the next 2 years if Biden's still in the – well, Wally's still in the White House.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't used to be a Republican-Democrat issue. I mean, we differed, conservatives and liberals.
It's America. Protect America, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we also agreed that even if we didn't like the laws that Congress passed, we had to still enforce them. You know, that's not your job as a policeman to interpret the speed limit or the criminal statutes and say, well, I like this one, I don't like this one. It's your job to enforce it, and it's somebody else's job to pass the law.
I know you're familiar with what's happened in Illinois when the governor just recently signed last month that illegals that are in the state of Illinois, if they can get a green card, then they can apply to become a police officer and begin to carry a weapon, and they can enforce the law against U.S. citizens.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're not talking about people who are on parole, who are just actively, you know, illegal immigrants at the time. They're talking maybe about people who have permanent residency on the way to citizenship. But yeah, I don't think that's a good idea to have people who are not citizens carrying out the law on people who are. That seems foolish. But, you know, right here in Washington, D.C., the city council wants to give an ID card to people who are here illegally who come to Washington, you know, yesterday, so that they can get free housing and sign up for benefits. So this is just a blank check that's being written in a lot of our major cities and our most liberal states that's going to be mighty expensive for the taxpayers.
You're listening to Simon Hankinson, Heritage Border Control and Immigration Expert. And the sanctuary cities like New York City and D.C. and various cities in California and the sanctuary states are beginning to realize, you know, this is not such a good idea. We got more and more folks coming. They had to move veterans out of an area, homeless veterans, to move them out to get illegals into that area in New York City. Then the governor, the mayor, Adams, decided to start busing some of the illegals to northern New York State. The same thing. He's complaining about Abbott sending them to him. They didn't want them. This sanctuary city thing is turning around and biting them in the butt.
Yeah, they seem surprised. The governor of Massachusetts, the mayor of New York, they seem surprised that if you open the borders and you offer unlimited benefits. I mean, New York gives you not only free legal representation, free food, free housing. They actually give you free bikes. It's a pretty good deal. And if you're from a country where you can't make a living and somebody offers this to you, you'd be pretty stupid not to take it. And somehow they're amazed this is happening.
Well, and it's that's wrong on its face value. But then again, you look at American citizens and how they're being deprived. Because if you're taking money out of a community to provide some resources to hundreds, if not thousands, of illegals, depending on where you live in your area, there goes money for your, for American children, American vets, American homeless on our streets that are Americans, maybe with some mental issues, but I mean, all those resources are basically redirected.
Well, I mean, let's take two examples. The people in south side of Chicago, which is not the rich part, have been really outraged that the city is putting illegal immigrants into their schools and their neighborhoods, and they're seeing fights, and they're seeing prostitution, and they're seeing garbage, and they're seeing all kinds of things that they already have to deal with, and they don't like it. And then the city of New York, or the state of New York, is getting $108 million in federal emergency management money to take care of people who are not American citizens, who are not here legally, unless they're in removal process or, you know, whatever parole status they're in. And now that money should be there ready for the next hurricane, the next
right,
you know, weather event for American citizens who paid the taxes and put it into that fund.
And in the last 15 minutes, the New York City mayor is now beginning to spread some of the illegals into the Upper East Side and Upper West Side of New York, saying, you guys voted for Biden. Here's your gift. Your final thoughts on that.
And it's kind of funny to see that, because you that's where you get these sort of rich, liberal, you know, particularly, you know, younger, highly educated women who philosophically believe that we should have open borders and welcome everybody. But the moment you try to put them in the parks that their kids go to play in, or the schools that their kids want to use during the summer, they get all mad and want them taken back somewhere else, probably to Texas and the border states.
And I don't see them opening up their homes for those folks to live with them in the process. Simon Hankinson, thank you as always for joining us, sir.
My pleasure.
We do appreciate it. Coming up, President Biden does an interview with the Weather Channel. Now, that's bad enough, but there's something he did with the female reporter that is getting some interesting attention. I'll give you details. Please stand by. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We've rejoined the Paris Climate Accord. We've passed a $368 billion climate control facility. We're moving. It is the existential threat to humanity.
Yeah, there he is again, saying the greatest threat to humanity is the climate. And he said, we rejoined the Paris Climate Accord. Of course, when Trump got in, one of the first things he did was pull us out of there. Well, of course, it was an Obama idea to get with the other nations around the world to try to do something to get control of emissions. And, of course, you've got Joe Biden pushing it deeper. This is all part of the UN. It's to work on a five-year cycle of increasingly stepping up additional and ambitious climate action. Pardon me, carried out by all these countries. So when Trump dropped it, once Biden got in, you knew he was going to immediately push for it. And, of course, one of the first things he did that made a lot of the folks who love the Paris Climate Accord really special is jump in and kill the Keystone Pipeline. There was Joe Biden in the midst of everything that's going on. Of course, yesterday he was at the Grand Canyon calling it the ninth wonder of the world. Are there nine wonders of the world? They must be counting me and Quentin. But anyway, he's standing there, and beyond that, blah, 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 blah. Thank God they didn't let him get too close to the edge. Bottom line is, he's just trying to get out of D.C. and try to distract. And, of course, the state-controlled media is all over this. And he grants an interview in the midst of all of it. Now, I'm going to give you more details on that interview in just a moment, but, I mean, you heard part of it there. And he basically is saying, well, we still consider climate is the thing that could destroy our world entirely. Existential threat. And, of course, he touted his record on renewable energy, saying we are becoming more resilient against weather and climate disasters. Also stressing the need to build back stronger in the face of more extreme weather. There you go, climate change. That's why you got to get rid of your gas car. You got to shut down your gas oven. He even got asked about how poor communities might see the worst effects from climate change. And in this interview with the Weather Channel, President Biden said, well, the federal government, here he goes again. I mean, they create the issue. Then they come in and supposedly solve the issue. And they make the issue worse. Ronald Reagan was right. Some of the worst words are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. So he said, no, we're going to help those areas. 40% of all the funding is going to help those people. We're focusing on those areas to get the help first. 40% to them. When Obama was in power, not just 4 years, but 8 years. And when he first began, he had both houses under his control, the House and the Senate. All the things he could have done to help the minority communities and those who were suffering in various ways, he spent all of his capital on creating Obamacare. And even residents of Chicago, South Chicago, that primarily minority areas, were very upset that they had not really seen him come back to Chicago, except to check on the building of his presidential library, which is displacing a lot of them. So when they say 40% of the funding is going to go to those people, how much of the funding from anything like Biden's Infrastructure Comedy Act has gone to actually help people as opposed to create more bureaucracy? And at one point in the interview, Biden got asked, there were some legitimate questions in here. His response, you had to know to begin with, but a good reporter will know that. They don't ask any question without already knowing the answer, pretty much. Just like a lawyer doesn't put someone on the stand and ask a question that they don't already know the answer to. But he was asked about the concerns with the failing power grids in the face of both extreme cold and heat, and he urged utility companies to fortify their infrastructures. Well, of course, that's always a good idea, but they're pushing everybody to get into more solar energy and electric battery stuff. Are you aware of this? An electric bus company, Proterra, they got heavy backing from the President Biden administration, filed for bankruptcy yesterday. They couldn't make it go. And the energy secretary has apparently many thousands of shares, something like 200 plus thousand shares in that company. You think she dumped it before they filed for bankruptcy? This is a Burlingame, California-based EV company. And Jennifer Granholm, our energy secretary, had hyped the company in her official capacity because she had served on their board, did hold over $1 million worth of stock, even after confirmed as head of Biden's energy department. Now, supposedly, all that's put out of touch where she can't handle it directly. But again, when Biden toured the area, he said, we're running way behind China. You guys are keeping us in the game. Well, now they're filing for bankruptcy. And apparently part of the problem is they won't start in really cold weather. Other times they overheat and break into flames. You want to put your child and your children on one of those buses? But there's something else Biden did. Oh, let me add this. This is imperative. He added this line, and I want this to come back and really bite him hard because it's hurting our nation, not only inside our nation, but on the world stage. Biden says, and I'm going to quote, I want to stop all drilling on the East Coast and on the West Coast and in the Gulf, but I've lost in court. We're still pushing very hard. They do not want fossil fuels to be used, but yet we're willing to buy it from communist countries, Venezuela, money going to Russia in some cases, or China. And those countries could care less about how much dirty the air gets while they're drilling. They don't have the standards we have here. We have the highest standards, and he wants to shut it down. But anyway, here's something else. I'm going to go back to that interview because he didn't really fully answer the question, and this is why. Listen to this, please.
We've rejoined the Paris Climate Accord. We've passed a $368 billion climate control facility. We're moving. It is the existential threat to humanity.
So you've already declared that national emergency?
Well, in the practice, you have a bug on it.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. See that national emergency.
Practically speaking, yes.
He spots a bug on the female reporter's breast. Now, I don't mean her physical, but her clothing. And rather than just saying so she can knock it away, he reaches over and touches that part of her body to knock it away. Now, I'm not saying what some might already be rushing to judgment. And I know often you've probably been in a similar situation. You're just trying to get it off somebody. But Biden has had such a bad reputation in some of his relationships with women and how close he gets to them. And he had previously vowed, I will be, quote, more mindful of personal space. This is after inappropriate hugs, rubs, caresses, their backs, especially children as well, sniffing their hair. It was not like, I'm not saying there was anything untowards of what he did. But he would have been better to just say, oh, you have a bug on your lapel or whatever, and let her knock it away. But he felt compelled, let me knock that away. I'm the savior of the white knight. I'll knock it away. And maybe cop a feel at the same time. Oh, I didn't mean to say that, but I did. Too late now. That's the way it is on live radio. Once you make that remark, it's there for you. Coming up, the Anheuser-Busch heir, Billy Bush, on how the new owner, InBev, has totally screwed up the brand.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think my family, my ancestors would have rolled over in their grave. They were very patriotic. They loved this country and what it stood for. They believed that transgender, gays, that sort of thing was all a very personal issue. They love this country because it is a free country and people are allowed to do what they want. But it was never meant to be on a beer can and never meant to be pushed in people's faces.
That is Billy Bush talking about the decision by InBev, which now owns Anheuser-Busch, to put Dylan Mulvaney on the beer can. Dylan Mulvaney is still a man dressing up as a girl, has made no transition surgery, no puberty blockers, in fact, mocking women. Or you could look at it as, well, it's just kind of a skit type thing that you might have seen in a Carol Burnett program. But this is what Dylan Mulvaney's all about. And even writing at one point, oh, my, I'm so frightened. I haven't had my period yet. You're a man. You're not going to have a period. And somebody in the corporate levels of Anheuser-Busch / InBev decided it'd be a great idea to make this linkage. You know what they did with Bud Light. They put it on there and how the Bud Light sales dropped to the bottom and continued to drop and continued to drop. And people did lose their jobs eventually. They were saying, well, you know, folks don't understand, trying to buy their way out. For Billy Bush, in an interview he was doing, he said it was just a bad company decision.
I think the company greatly miscalculated what they thought was being inclusive, but it really was divisive. I think my family was, they live by the motto, making friends is our business, and they believe that bringing people together, making it a sociable, fun beer drinking experience was the way to go. But, you know, people that drink Bud Light, that drink beer, really don't relate to that kind of advertising. And so it was a huge mistake.
That's an understatement. Now, once InBev took over Anheuser-Busch, they started making a lot of changes. For those in the St. Louis area, you know directly, and where they have some of their breweries. For one thing, they told them they weren't going to be using the Clydesdales anymore. What? That was the brand part of it. No, they're not going to be in parades. We're not going to do the... Well, they ended up changing their mind. But they did draw money out of a lot of groups they normally would support, that needed support, relied on it. That was another bad company decision. Billy Bush has, at this time, cannot advise InBev what to do. He has no authority whatsoever. But he said, if I had that opportunity...
If I had a chance to talk to him, I'd say, really understand who your beer drinker is and who your audience is with your brands, because you know, trying to push a political agenda in such a way obviously is not the way to go, because you can tell, because it's hurt sales so much and sales have dropped, have plummeted. So you know, really take the time to get out there, learn about America. This is a foreign company. Learn what, you know, what sells in America. Understand what the beer business is like and sell to those people in that way.
Good advice. And in fact, InBev is based in Belgium, and one of the employees of Anheuser-Busch, his wife was very insistent whenever I would mention on air Belgium, because she is from there, and she said, it makes us look like we're bad people, and they're really out of Argentina. Well, the owner of InBev, the head guy, was Argentina. But I said, the company is based in Belgium. Well, don't mention Belgium. okay, I won't mention the facts anymore. I love the woman dearly, but she was defending what she thought was right. Coming up in our second hour here, Gordon G. Chang talking about how China might invade Taiwan without military. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.